Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow, welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowe, still here, joined by Augie as per usual. Don't worry, nothing new. This is the one thing in life that you're probably able to rely on right now. Yeah, the Moscow Mules. Just me and Augie and you, all very cozy together. And of course, there's only one place to start, and that's in the Straits of Hormuz, a little tiny stretch of water, which now everybody knows the name of. Everybody knows where it is, right, Augie? It's not like the Americans didn't know this was going to happen, right? You know, they were kind of talking about this stuff for years. What if the Iranians decided to actually close the stretch of waterway because the Americans and the Israelis started bombing the shit out of them? Yeah, and guess what? It's happened. Now, lots of kind of debate, right, Augie, about a particular video which seems to show Iranian Marines or Iranian forces boarding a ship that tried to get through. But this video, Roy Loggy, got a lot of attention from people like the BBC saying it's a staged video. If it's so staged, why doesn't the Americans just drive through? Why doesn't anyone just... If the Iranians have no navy left and they can't stop anything going through, why don't the Americans just take a stroll on by? Yeah, I don't know. Something ain't right to me. Check it out. Run the video, Loggy. All looks very real to me.
Doesn't look too staged to me. Maybe some shots of close-ups were shot lately, but the Western media tries to pretend that the whole video is propaganda. I especially like the article from New York Post, Shay. The headline says, Iran releases video purporting to show commandos seizing ships in Strait of Hormuz, and then they go on talking about how much it is propaganda clip. But then, when I read an article a little bit further, it openly says, officials with the Greek-based operator of that container ship said the vessel had been boarded by the Iranian soldiers. Who's making propaganda here then?
Yeah, and like, you know, when the Iranians actually board a ship and there's video of that ship, very easily identified, I'm sure, that's propaganda. But it's not propaganda when President Trump says, yeah, we're going to go to Iran, it's going to be over in 4 weeks, we're not going to kill any civilians, and then I'm going to wipe out a whole civilization, and then I'm not going to do it. There's a ceasefire. Now there's not a ceasefire. It's on, it's off, it's up to... None of that is propaganda. None of the shit that Pete Hegseth with his Windows Movie Maker friends makes about what's going on in Iran, this war of choice, none of that's propaganda, right, Augie? Just this. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say to yourself, you know, this is almost farcical, right? It's almost comedic, Augie. This whole, farce, it's open, it's closed. We're going to wipe them out. We're not going to wipe them out. There's great people in Iran, and then they're the worst terrorists that ever lived in human history. So you'd imagine that somebody would put this to music, make a musical, make it almost entertaining, because it is so tragic and so terrible and it impacts so many people, but it's also kind of funny. And some genius... on the interweb, and of course the old little bloodhound here, Augie, sniffed this one out, actually did put the big guns kind of ramblings and rantings about Iran to music. And it's absolutely incredible. We think this is one of the best, yeah, for sure. Run it, Augie.
Operation Epic Fury! Or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. A whole civilization will die tonight.
Oh, it's so good.
Never to be brought back again. I don't want that to happen, but it probably will. I ran a charging seas to tankers going through the Hormuz Strait. They better not be in, and if they are, they better stop now. The leadership is dead. The Strait of Hormuz will soon.
None of this is made up. None of this is made up. This is really things he said. This is stuff the president said. Oh, just unreal. Now, of course, in Iran itself, what was meant to be a popular uprising against, right, Augie, the regime or the Islamic regime in Iran, it didn't materialize. It didn't happen, right? But on the ground in Iran, there's been a real rally round the flag effect, right, Augie? Meaning the people have seen things like the Minab disaster, where the kids were murdered by this missile in a school, devastated. People tend to gather around the flag, the national flag, and that's happening. The Iranian propaganda as well has been really, really impressive. You know, the Lego stuff, you know, taking the piss out of the Big Don and Hegseth and stuff. They're really on top of their game right now. And this is surprising a lot of people in the West, right? Another thing that's surprising people in the West is how women in Iran are getting behind their government. They're even manning some of the anti-aircraft systems. And there's a bit of a trend developing now. You know, in the West, you know, it's the men who are wearing pink, right? And having parades in the armies of the West, for sure. But in Iran, the women have re-embraced pink as a sign of their devotion to defending their country. Yeah? You don't believe me? Check it out. Run it, Augie.
They're even painting their rockets pink.
A pink rocket means something else in Europe. Now, speaking about failed colour revolutions, what colour would the Iranian revolution be? I'd say it'd be kind of tomato sauce coloured, right, Augie? Because Mr. Pahlavi, this the son of the Shah of Iran, who's kind of self-appointed himself as the new leader of Iran. Like, he's kind of, it's kind of a bit bizarre, you know. It's like Maria Machado in the Venezuelan gig, you know. They kind of step up and they kind of say, well, yeah, I'm the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of the, the Tsar. Yeah, give me the keys to the Kremlin. I don't know. Check this dude out. Somebody got a little bit, let's say, animated with him. One woman came up and told him she loved him. I mean, you know, I thought the days of kings were long gone. Check out England, doomed. But then somebody else decided to give him a little bit of a makeover, let's say, with some tomato sauce. It looks like tomato sauce or some sort of ketchup or something. Yeah, interesting stuff. Run it, Augie.
Whoa. Ah, look, it's all over his back. He didn't even notice at first.
He didn't even know. So, do you notice this perfect self-awareness, Augie?
I'm not even sure he understood what happened.
Yeah, this is the true self-awareness of a born leader. Now, as if in some sort of organized attempt to stand with Mr. Pahlavi, right? What would you do, Augie, right? You'd kind of come out on the streets and have a big march, or, you know, you'd rattle off how many brilliant things this man has done in his life. And then you'd probably say, well, this is why it's such a great idea to put the Shah, who brutalized the people, stole tons of money, put his son, who's never done anything in his life, back into power in one of the most powerful countries in the region. No, because none of that would work. The best thing to do, right, Augie, is to douse yourself in ketchup in solidarity with the glorious leader. Yeah, I shit you not. So you throw ketchup on yourself just to say, yeah, I'm with you 100% on that, bro. Yep, let's do this. Unbelievable. So we've decided to continue the Shah of Iran, or the would-be Shah of Iran, focus in our AI slop moment segment, which is, of course, now becoming a feature of the show. Very interesting one, this. And again, it's focusing on the unelected, self-appointed leader of Iran. You know, and that will always work out absolutely perfectly. It always has done, right? Yeah, right. Run it, Augie.
Let's try this Heinz ketchup. Best ketchup.
Short and sweet.
And spot on.
And we've kind of got to thinking here on the Moscow Mules, Augie and I, that, you know, the Americans haven't been exactly lucky when it comes to political leadership, let's say. You know, they seem to keep, landing face down, the butter side down when they drop the bread when it comes to the president and the political leadership. And it's not just that. They also seem to be getting, a bad run of luck when it comes to their political allies. The British have done a runner, the French, the Germans, all the people who Americans actually shed a lot of blood to assist and help, right? Second World War and various other conflicts where the Americans kind of stepped in. It's going to cost a ton of money to replace American aid, right, Augie? This is no joke. They'd be kind of stuck with these difficult sort of allies, the kind of weekend friends, the ones that, you know, always on the phone to you when they need a lend of 50 bucks, but never pick up when you need a lend of 10. Yeah. Hey, America, welcome to NATO. And this is probably most most true when it comes to the Japanese. The Japanese, remember, have allowed the Americans to build several bases on its territory. I wonder why that was. Maybe it's because the Japanese attacked America, of course, in 1941 in Pearl Harbor, a massive air assault, killing lots of sailors, sinking a lot of their fleet. Of course, the Americans then joined the war and got stuck in. We all know what happened afterwards. Let's say they terminated the war without notice to the Japanese by dropping two nuclear weapons on them. So there's a complex history here. But we come up with a kind of an interesting video, Augie spotted it, of how these fake allies, right, who never answer the phone when America needs them, behave when they turn up at the White House. And this is really interesting. Have a look at the Japanese premier's obligatory laugh at the Joe Biden picture on the wall. We just think it's kind of cynical. But in the background, nobody's actually pulling their finger out and actually helping America do what they want. Even if America may be wrong, that's not what it's all about. When your friend is in the cop station on the floor wrapped in a blanket and he needs to get bailed out, he needs someone to come and collect him, you go and you pick him up and then you give out to him when he sobers up the next day. You don't just not answer the phone. Right, Augie? Run the video.
It's not easy.
Look, she's so happy to see Trump's portrait. And then it's the Biden's outer signature thing.
So now we're going to leave a fake friendship, the US-Japanese one, and we're going to go across the Atlantic in formation, under the radar. No, we're not. We're just going to go to Europe, where, of course, there's another bunch of insane bureaucrats, lunatics, Green Party, LGBTQ warriors, fruitcakes and warmongers in charge. And it doesn't get any prettier there whatsoever. And you got to understand that the war machine needs you to be scared. It needs you to be so scared that you go and buy tons of weapons with trillions of dollars and you continue this spiral of fear, baseless fear and terror, so that you keep buying weapons. NATO is basically a person who likes to start fires, you know, a pyromaniac who sells fire alarms. That's what NATO is. Yeah. And to kind of demonstrate that, Augie has dug up a video which clearly demonstrates that all of the drone terror that sort of proliferated through the media, right, Augie, for maybe 6 months, there was drones over Belgium, there was drones over Sweden, there was drones over London, there was drones over Ireland when Zelensky visited. Yeah, it was all complete and utter bullshit. Yeah, absolute bullshit. All made up. But that doesn't matter, because the fear it stoked allowed the money to be flushed into the arms manufacturers to build tons of drones for the war they're going to start with Russia, which you're going to die in, by the way. Yeah, for real. Run the video, Augie.
This report is all about drones, drones, drones. Spotted everywhere in Europe at the end of last year.
It's not Willy or Dennis who accidentally took out his drone.
In no case has any concrete evidence been provided that these were drones.
Sowing unrest, so that's one. That's the pattern of the Russian Federation.
In the Netherlands, our Ministry of Defense was very cautious about drawing that conclusion.
Pano investigates. Was there really a drone crisis?
At this moment, it's much too early for us to make any statements about that.
Meanwhile, millions are urgently being allocated to, among other things, drone detection. Can we see the contracts?
Complete bullshit.
Those details are not usually shared. If you have questions about that, I would kindly refer you to defense.
In Pano?
I'll kindly refer you to defense. Yeah, of course you will. Fraud.
And just to make it clear, dear viewers, the investigation by this Dutch newspaper found out that out of 60 claims about Russian drones over the airports, none were proven true.
Not one of them was a Russian drone.
Turns out some of them weren't even drones either, just the stars on the night sky.
So retarded. We're gonna all burn for nothing. Now, speaking about everybody burning, it seems to be an absolutely dedicated policy of the European Union and NATO to make sure there's a war with Russia. Even though, you know, the Russians have absolutely no interest in that. They're kind of busy in Ukraine, slightly. But, you know, they're going to come and get us. They can't win in Ukraine. They are going to win in Ukraine. Then they're going to come and get us. Russophrenia. Yeah, for sure. It's happening right now, every single day. And as if to demonstrate this, and you might have noticed this, guys, if you're living in Europe, you've probably seen a creeping increase in militarization, in the idea of joining the military, the Russia threat. Baseless, complete bullshit propaganda, but it's still there, and they're pushing for this, alongside a huge tranche of spending from the EU on weapons. all from America, of course. It's all one big washing machine. Don't forget it. Check out the Germans' latest recruitment ad, which is focused at young women, young girls. Yeah. Meanwhile, in the UK, 50% of people say they ain't going to fight at all for anybody. But in Germany, they want to have the biggest army by 2039. 2039. Yeah, you see the kind of, you know, yeah, you see it? Yeah, we see it too. Check out their latest advert for the little girls. It's so cool and funky to go and get dismembered by a drone, you know, in a battle against one of the most battle-hardened militaries on Earth. Probably the most battle-hardened. Yeah? Oh, bro, this is just completely insane. Run it, Uggy. Hate this stuff. What's cool about this?
I mean, I don't know, Che, and I have a question for our female audience. Does this video make you want to die for Germany or something?
No. As we're talking about this insane drive towards recruitment, you know, the funny dancey movies, right? All the grooviness. It's also cool. Let's all join the army and I'll die. Absolutely great. Great fun in Europe. But Ukraine, as I've said again and again, is a laboratory. It's a weapons laboratory. It's a laboratory to find out how massive amounts of money can be washed and laundered for certain elites. It's a vast profit laboratory for the weapons industry. And it's also a place where European countries can sort of, you know, model out how they will drag people into their militaries, because as I say, 50% of people in the UK, for example, don't want to fight. The Germans are desperate to convince everybody to fight, to find out how could we do it? What can we get away with? And that's been part of the deal in Ukraine. Seeing how the Western media and Western elites are turning a blind eye to the brutalization, the kidnap day in, day out, the busification of people in Ukraine. Now, Ogi has found a remarkable a piece of film of a man so desperate to escape Zelensky's conscript army, this forced meat grinder, that he climbs onto a roof. The kidnapper from Zelensky's crew goes up after him, and the two of them are so desperate. He's so desperate to catch him, and the other guy, so the victim, so desperate to escape, they both tumble to the ground. He didn't escape, by the way. Now, remarkable that both of them survived, but this is the brutal reality of what's happening on the ground in Ukraine that the media are so desperate not to tell you about. Imagine this was happening in Russia, Ayagi, or China, or Iran. Imagine the outcry. Imagine you wouldn't be able to look left, right, up or down without seeing this piece of film. Here it is. Run the video, Ayagi.
The man is fighting for his life. And then?
Crazy.
There you go. Boom!
Wow. Wow. You gotta ask yourself, are you ready for this in Europe? Because I'm telling you, this is the only model that they'll be able to fill their armies with. Because most people, particularly the young, have no intention of dying for von der Leyen and Mark Rutte.
Even more so, dear viewers, the Ukrainians themselves, the ones that escaped to Germany or Europe, don't want to die in Ukraine. So now the German government is planning to help kick out all those men that were escaping the draft back into Ukraine. That's what the latest claim by Merz says.
Now, of course, we condemn all violence. We're against it. We don't want anyone to die. We don't want anyone to suffer. But when you see how people who managed not to have to go to the front, these big flag wavers, right? They're either in Italy, Germany, France, or in Ireland, you know, waving their flags, their UPAOUN Nazi flags, you know, and saying, oh, Slava Ukraine. Yeah, but they ain't at the front. And the ones in Ukraine who are actually capturing people from the street to send to the front, turns out they're not so brave, right, Augie? When they get faced with the sound of gunfire, they instinctively act. They run towards it and tackle the gunman, right? Wrong. They run. They, if they had been at the Winter Olympics, they would have won a medal, right, Augie? For running the other way, yeah. There's a video now we're going to show you. some psychopath, okay, who the Western media was absolutely determined was a Russian. He was born in Moscow, this guy. This was the headline, check it out, in the UK press. Killer born in Moscow shoots people on the streets of Kiev. They don't mention the fact that the commander-in-chief of the Ukrainian army, Mr. Sirsky, was also born just south of Moscow. And his parents also live there now, right? Yeah, let's not say that. But when some psychopath who had served two tours in the Ukrainian military and was a Ukrainian, essentially, a citizen, was born in Moscow, that he's a bad guy. Now, check out how the police reacted during this tragic incident. Two cops armed one killer with one pistol, okay? Two cops against one. You think, well, okay, we'll have a go. We'll take a pot shot. Nah, we're going to run away and leave injured civilians on the ground. Yeah? Am I judging? Maybe a little bit. Run the video, Augie.
There you can see they noticed the shots, right, on the left side. And where do they run? Completely opposite way.
Hell, I'd never seen a cop move so fast. Ever. Now, of course, you can imagine, you know, things are pretty tough in Ukraine on the ground. And there's a lot of sort of, you know, fatigue with the whole Ukraine thing. And you can see the people on the streets are tired of it. People are cracking mentally, obviously, and physically because of it, as we've just seen. You know, it's a war that's grinding on and the Ukrainians are paying a terrible price. And there's also a terrible price to be paid by the queue of C-rate celebrities, political nobodies and half-wits who are being lined up to go to Ukraine, to Kiev, to shake the hand of the narco-fuhrer. And some of them aren't too happy to shake his hand at all. Like the king of Sweden. Yeah, who's the king of Sweden? Exactly. That's why he's in Kiev. Nobody knows who he is, so he's got to go to Kiev, so maybe you get a bit of PR. Right, Augie? Now, he didn't seem to be too happy about it. So when he gets out of his car, he decides not to shake the hand of the little green goblin. Yeah. And just zero in, check out the face on the narco-fuhrer, a man who's a, you know, a hero. This is Winston Churchill, right? Not according to King of Sweden, he ain't. He looks more like a leper. I ain't touching that. Yeah? Run the video, Augie.
I also want our viewers to pay attention to the high platform shoes the Green Goblin is wearing.
Yeah, the Green Goblin likes his platforms. Come on. We never attack someone on the base of their physical attributes on this show. So that brings us sadly to the end of another episode. We're delighted you've joined us and we love to make it. Augie and I, you know, it's the best job in town. Come on, it's not really work, you know. Well, not for me anyway. And what has the show been about this week? Well, it seems obvious that it doesn't matter who you vote for. It doesn't matter what you want. Your 90 billion is going to the narco-fuhrer. Doesn't matter. You don't get to vote for it in Europe. You didn't get to vote for the 300 billion that the Big Don says was sent to Kiev from the US. You guys don't actually mean anything. You're tax cattle and you're bred for slaughter. It's quite a basic thing. Take Mr. Rinat Akhmetov, the richest man in Ukraine. He just bought a $471 million euro apartment. Five stories, room for eight cars. Yeah. Just as 90 billion arrives of your taxpayers' money into the golden toilet. That's what it's all about. It's a big show and you're just a back of the room ticket holder. Kind of like me and Nagi, but we're at the front. Yeah, you know, place for everybody. Yeah. So join us same time, same place next week. We'll be here to narrate the show as it seems to accelerate rather than slow down. We don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon, just like us. So until then, same time, same place. Mind yourself and God bless.